Thank you, Jeff, for reading that passage this morning. We get closer to the Easter holiday. One of the things that we enjoy doing is welcoming people into our homes, friends, family. And if we welcome them into our homes, we have various ways of doing that. Some of us do that by bringing out the best dishes. Others of us maybe do it by just wanting people to know, hey, you know what? You're just like one of the family, and you're just sitting around here, and we're just pleased that you are here. Whatever way we try to do it, we want them to know that they are welcome. And that is what Palm Sunday is really about. It's about welcoming and the fact that Jesus is a king to be welcomed. John's Gospel in John chapter 1, verse 9, said these words, that Jesus was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. And so this morning, there are three words that I would like us to focus on here, on Palm Sunday here in this passage from from Luke 19, verse 28 to 44. And they are willing, adoration, and weeping. And they all point to the reason why Jesus is a king to be welcomed. And so first of all, willing. Verse 28 that Jeff read says that Jesus was the one that went on ahead. Jesus went on ahead on his journey to Jerusalem. They are coming from Jericho, which is kind of to the northeast, and it is a climb. Jericho is over 800 feet below sea level. Jerusalem is over 2,500 feet above. And it is a climb. It's an 18-mile walk, and Jesus is ahead. He is determined to go there. And we might think at first that Jesus doesn't really know what he's getting himself into. He thinks that, oh, people are really excited to see him. They're really excited to welcome him. But we know from the scriptures that Jesus knew from the beginning what his purpose was. It's what he came for. He came for this purpose. He knew that he was coming, and he knew that he was going to be rejected. Jesus had told his disciples that he would be rejected by the elders and the chief priests, and that he would be handed over to the Gentiles, and he would be killed. Jesus was no victim. People think of Jesus as a victim. Jesus was no victim. He was in the driver's seat. He was going ahead. He was willing to come. John 10:18, Jesus said, "No one can take my life. I lay it down on my own accord." And so Jesus was willing to do that. In fact, the disciples, the Gospels make it clear that the disciples, they're beginning to sense the tension that is going on here between Jesus and the crowds, and they're sensing this tension. And so we're actually told that in John 10:18, that the disciples, when they hear that Jesus is determined to go to Jerusalem, they actually try to talk him out of it. They're like, "Jesus, let's not go there." The disciples were fearful. Not so Jesus. The Gospels tell us that even the religious leaders were fearful of him, but not Jesus. The Bible is very clear. Jesus is no victim. And this morning, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and as we celebrate what he has done for us, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:23 that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. I've always thought of those words, and when he had given thanks. Paul didn't say, and when he weepingly broke that bread. No. When he had given thanks, he was willing to lay down his life. The disciples still didn't grasp it, even at the Last Supper. They didn't grasp what Jesus was going to do. But Jesus knew that he was going to be laying down his life in one of the most excruciatingly painful ways known to men at that time, through crucifixion. And no doubt, over the 33 years that Jesus walked on the face of the earth, he had seen probably many crucifixions. The Romans used it to send a reminder to everybody never to rebel against Roman rule. And so Jesus knew exactly what was going on. And as he took the bread and broke it and gave thanks, Jesus knew that in just a little bit, it was the Romans who would be taking his body, and they would be breaking his body, and they would be taking a whip to his back, and that whip would tear apart, and he knew that he would be wearing a crown, and he knew that he would have nails put through his hands and his feet, and he knew that he would be pierced. And far worse than the physical pain, he knew that he would be experiencing and taking on the full wrath of God, so that you and I don't have to be a curse. And he was willing to do that. And Palm Sunday, we celebrate the fact that Jesus came willingly to Jerusalem. Second, adoration. There's a lot of adoration going on here. There is a colt that is brought to Jesus for him to ride into Jerusalem. Fulfillment to Zechariah chapter 9. Excuse me. People are laying their cloaks on the donkey, so for Jesus to sit on, and others are laying their cloaks on the road ahead of Jesus. And that's kind of a foreign concept. We don't understand that, but it's just a symbolic way of just showing their adoration for him and their submission to him. And we see some Old Testament background for this in 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 13. But it was the people's way of just acknowledging adoration to Jesus and just wanting to acknowledge submission to him. We need to remember that they had people back then, they had two garments. They had their inner garment, their work clothes, and then they had their outer garment, and this was their outer garment, their nice garment. And so they're laying this down at the feet of Jesus, saying, here we are, we're offering ourselves to you. We are willing to submit. And there is verbal adoration. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. They were openly confessing Jesus as King. And yet, in spite of this adoration, Jesus knows that this adoration is going to be short-lived. He knows that this adoration that they are expressing to him is an adoration because they want a king that will meet their needs, not a king who will rule in their lives. And so Jesus is coming. There is adoration for him, and there is excitement for him. It's very interesting that Luke makes a connection here in verse 38b with chapter 2, verse 14, Remember in chapter 2, verse 14, the angels appeared to the shepherds and they said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And suddenly there was an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." And what the people didn't fully understand is that there would truly be glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased, because he would be laying down his life, making it possible for them to have peace with God. But the last word here that I see is the word weeping here. And it's by far it's the saddest part of the triumphal entry. As the day draws to a close, Jesus, as the rightful Messiah, has come. He has come in love. He has come with the Spirit's anointing him. He has spent 3.5 years preaching to Israel the good news, of the gospel. He has proclaimed release to the captives. He has come. He has done many good works. He has healed many people. He has come seeking the lost, as he said in Luke 19, verse 10. Jesus has come seeking the lost. He, on his way to Jerusalem, he sought out Zacchaeus, a tax collector. He sought out many others. Luke spends a lot of time talking about the various lost people that he seeks out. In Luke 7, he seeks out an immoral woman, probably a prostitute, and he seeks her out. Ironically, he finds her at the house of Simon the Pharisee, who in his religious pride rejects Jesus. In John chapter 4, Jesus finds a Samaritan woman, again, one that we might not think that he would find, but we see Jesus is on the hunt to seek people, and now he is coming to Jerusalem. And he's coming seeking his people. And Jerusalem, remember, is where God has promised to meet his people. And sadly, the last thing that these people wanted was to meet their king. And yet, what is interesting here is how Jesus responds to these people. He doesn't say, "Well, poo on you. I'm finished with you." No, he weeps. He weeps, and he weeps. And this isn't just a normal term that Luke uses here for the word weeping. It's one of the strongest terms for weeping found in the New Testament. It is used in Matthew chapter 2, verse 18, where, remember, Matthew chapter 2, verse 18, Herod comes and he kills all the baby boys that are in the area because he's after to try to kill Jesus. And that term there is used for the parents who weep there. And the term is also used in Mark chapter 5, verse 38, to describe the weeping that is going on when the synagogue leader's young daughter has lost her life. And this is the kind of weeping that Jesus is doing over Jerusalem. And God says in Ezekiel chapter 3 that he takes no pleasure in the death of anyone. And so we see Jesus taking no pleasure in the death of anyone, but he comes, and he comes weeping. He comes weeping because of their sin, of turning away from him, will have eternal ramifications. And he comes weeping, and these are real tears that are being shed. And what is interesting here is that Jesus knows exactly what is coming on Friday. And he doesn't weep over that. He weeps for those who turn away from him. And he gives thanks for those who receive him. And so this morning, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, if you know Jesus, you know that he is giving thanks for you. Palm Sunday is about the fact that he came, he wants to be welcomed, and if you opened your heart to welcome him, then he gives thanks. But if you're here this morning and you're holding him at an arm's length, arm's distance, you're saying, you know what? The king that I want is the king that will do my bidding. Then Jesus is weeping for you. He wants you to welcome him as a king who loves, as a king who loves you enough that he is able to give thanks for taking your sin upon the cross, bearing your wrath. What will you do? Will you give praise to him because he gives thanks for you welcoming him? Or will you hold him at a distance, recognizing that he is weeping for you? Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you said in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Father, we recognize that Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He came Palm Sunday. He came as King to be welcomed by his people. And yet, Father, those that were his people would not receive him. They did not want a king. They did not want to welcome a king. Father, thank you that you do give, that Jesus gave thanks for those who did welcome him, and that he invites us into a relationship with him. Father, I pray that this morning, that if there are any here that are holding him at a distance, that they would welcome him, knowing that he loves them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.